Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Lonely. Download some friends.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Used Wigs Radio podcast number 44. It's been well over a month since the guys have gotten together. So to reconnect, tonight we're having an all-night pajama party, podcast, popcorn, and season one DVD of Grey's Anatomy. Guys, this is going to be great. You excited? Now, Todd, when I say pajamas, you were thinking what I sleep in. And just because you sleep naked... doesn't mean you'd be sitting here naked. So let's go find some pajamas.
Maybe. It's the same as every podcast, right?
It's true. Guys, tonight's podcast is sponsored by Boddington's Ale. Yum. Thanks to my favorite cousin-in-law, Johnny K, who gave me an entire case of this delicious pub ale from Manchester, England.
Does he work for them?
No, it was just a little birthday gift. You know, like a case of this is like 6 4-packs, and it's, you know, it's heavy. So it's not like just you're getting a normal case of beer. It's like a true gift of beer lover's delight.
Liquid gold.
Oh, it's delicious, right?
It is excellent.
Smooth. So what have you guys been up to? Nothing?
Russ. Todd's been growing a beard.
Todd, your beard? Oh, yeah. A beard and... oh, yeah.
Beard and baby.
Baby.
And a baby.
A baby.
That's right. Guys, since the last time you talked to Todd... last time he did not have a baby. This time he does have a baby.
But let's not let the baby talk eclipse my beard.
Oh,
please.
It's wrong.
Let's get our priorities straight.
You know, we know that Jeff has Jeff. We know that Todd has a baby because when he showed up here a little bit before you, he was singing to himself. Now let's see if you know the words of this song, because Todd always thought that it was just nonsense syllables.
Okay.
But you know that song that goes.
Lazy dotes and nosy dotes and little lambs you diving, a kiddly divey do.
I know the entire, I know every word to that song.
What is it?
Mares eat oats, and does eat oats, and little lambs eat ivy. I would eat ivy too, wouldn't you?
Except that's wrong.
Damn.
It's a kiddly ivy.
Oh,
too.
That's right. You know, Russ, my grandmother, I only had one grandmother who I met, and she wasn't alive too long. But I do remember her singing that all the time when I was a little kid. And she was straight off the boat from Ireland, like... she always had a beer in her hand. She wore these polyester pantsuits. And she used to sing that in this real thick Irish brogue. And I never had any idea what the hell she was like.
Yeah.
A melody dots and those dots, a curly ivy too, wouldn't you? And I'd be
it's
like...
it's a song from...
I'm like, Darby O'Gill, what the hell are you saying?
It actually was... it was like a novelty record in like the 40s.
The 40s,
was it,
yeah.
Really?
You know it's from the 40s because it has the word gay and queer in it. And not meaning...
oh, really?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know what know what anything is beyond the first verse. But.
That's a good one. My grandmother also used to, in her later years when her mind was going, she would put beer in the oven and her bras in the freezer. Like, she would just put stuff in the wrong places. I remember my uncle, when he first started dating my aunt, would just be like, first couple times she was a little thrown off by it, but, you know, after a few, you know, you're going to find different stuff in different parts of grandma's house.
Jeff, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been visiting Todd's baby. Very handsome little boy, Todd. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How is your life? Give us one way your life has changed drastically that you didn't see coming since this little intruder entered your house.
He peed on the drapes. And that's one that I wasn't ready for.
Now, did he just kind of walk into the corner and peed on the drapes?
Well, like we had the pack and play changing area there, and yeah. I mean, I guess you know when you, especially a boy, when you change, there's always the possibility that they shoot off because they get cold.
Right.
But I would have never guessed so far.
Yeah.
And into the drapes, but the good news is the cat doesn't go near those drapes anymore.
Nice. And this cat,
those are his drapes.
I think that might be a band name you just had there, Jeff. Little Intruders.
Little Intruders. Does the cat go near the baby?
Yeah, actually, they spent a lot of time together.
Russ, have you you haven't been having a baby, but didn't you go on a vacation? Weren't you down south in Florida? Did you go
Yeah, that's true. Well, for a work trip, we went to Disney. Actually, we had a great time, but, you know, but I have mixed feelings about Disney being the company that it is. I mean, you know, I don't agree with everything they do from a business perspective. But from the experience perspective down there,
it is very cool. What parks did you go to?
I think we went to all of them.
All of them? Animal Kingdom?
Yes, we did go to Animal Kingdom.
Did you go to MGM?
Yeah, well, now it's Disney Studios.
Oh, okay. And both Universals or just
Universal
all the Disney?
Universal is not Disney.
Yeah, just all the Disney ones?
Yeah, all the Disney.
Did you go to, like, Pleasure Island?
We did not go to Pleasure Island.
That's kind of cool. Epcot, Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow?
We did go there, yes. Yeah.
Todd, have you been
what
there
What country
recently?
Did you eat in?
We ate in Mexico. I think that was all.
Mexico's cool. You know, I did a report on Epcot Center when I was in fifth grade. Yeah.
Did you go there, or you just did a report?
I went there and was so smitten by our trip to Epcot Center. And it was maybe 2 or 3 years after it opened, so Epcot Center was a really exciting place to be.
That could have been a sad story where you're just like this sad little kid who didn't get to go, and like, I've never been, but this is how I imagined it would be. And you do this whole report, and all the rich kids in your class are like, we've been there, Todd, you haven't.
Well, it was weird because while we were walking around in all those areas, I was saying, you know, if I'm walking around the streets of Philadelphia at night, I don't feel 100% safe, right? But when you're walking around Epcot at night, and even those surrounding areas, like the Epcot resorts and stuff like that, you feel like, I wonder what's on the outskirts of those. It feels like it's giant walls with barbed wire because you just feel safe there, right?
Yeah.
But I was so curious, so when I got home, I had to look up, like, what are all the incidents that have happened there? People getting killed or getting attacked.
People have died on rides and stuff.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Most of it is ride-related. There's been a couple, like, little assaults and things. And then there's been a couple really weird things, like the one guy who was, like, in the Goofy costume, and as the parade was coming out, one of the floats ran him over by mistake and killed him.
Oh, my gosh.
Luckily, it wasn't out where the kids could see it or anything, but, you know, some weird thing.
Well, that's why Goofy hasn't had many cartoons recently, I guess. I was wondering where he's been.
Yeah.
And then there was that one guy that got killed by the bouncing waters in Epcot Center.
Got killed by the what?
You know that bouncing water? Did you see that?
Yeah.
He did not get killed.
Are you going to be bringing your little guy there anytime soon, Todd? Because, I mean, are you still smitten with Epcot? Is it still something like, you know, have you been back since your big
trip? I think I'm over it.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know, yeah.
Well, and that's what I mean, you know. Disney would not have been my first choice, right? I
certainly
would never have gone there on my own volition, but just for the heck of it, you know, we did have a really good time.
It's the happiest place on earth, I guess, with a kid. If you have like a... Yeah. Jeff... The listeners may or may not know, has a daughter who is three.
Three, just turned three.
So you're approaching the age where that might be appropriate. Like, I might as well take a plant to Disney World right now, you know?
Yeah. She has no idea it exists.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep it that way as long as we can. See, she's not into, like, many little kids and girls her age. They're into princesses and, you know, all that Disney stuff. She's into, like, you know, just getting dirty and playing with sticks, and you know what I mean? She's not a princess girl.
Hmm.
She's kind of, like, a little more rough and tumble, which I like, which I dig.
Is there a dirt theme park?
Yes, there is.
Dark
Land? Wonderful world of dirt.
It's called Edison, New Jersey.
I lived in Edison, New Jersey, damn it.
Hey, when I was young, I lived right near where Sesame Place is.
Oh, yeah.
That was a huge deal when I was like, you know, 9 years old, and they were constructing it, and we could see like towers going up and I think they were the first people to have those filthy, filthy ball pits.
Oh God.
You know? That's their claim to fame.
And you were like, I can't wait to write a report about this one. Okay, people.
There with his, like,
Scoop Jackson
Scoop
had his fedora and he's like got his little pad and stupid reporter
this
outfit
is gonna
on.
Be great.
I'm gonna wow the kids and show and tell. All right, Scoop and Russ, it's time to play a song. And let's see what's on the docket for tonight. Oh, one of my most favorite people ever, Bob Mould, has a new album out called District Line on Anti Records, and it is quite fantastic. And we will be playing the song "Stupid" now.
Please listen to me and don't disagree. Even as we fight, it doesn't matter to me. Please listen to me and don't disagree. Even as we fight, it doesn't matter to me.
share with you are over now. Haven't I been enough of a fool for you? Everything I say to you feels stupid now. Everything I say to you feels stupid now. Feeling kind of shame with you all over now. Have I been enough of a fool for you?
And we're back, people. That fantastic song was called Stupid Now by Bob Mould, or Mould. Many people call him many different things, but...
What does he call himself?
He calls himself Bobby M.
Little Bobby M.
He most certainly doesn't. He, I think it's Mould. I don't know. He's like my favorite, you know, music guy, and I don't know. But you should check out BobMould.com. There's a real cool video on the homepage where there's all these indie music guys paying homage to him, like... you know, guys from like Death Cab and stuff like that, saying what a big influence he was. And I got a funny phone call. Scott Schrake of UseWigs.com, one of our writers and our Washington insider who we had on the show, gave me a phone call and he says, told my wife, he's like, I am right now sitting watching Bob Mould enter a gym to work out. Scott goes to the same gym as Bob Mould, and it's a big gym for people of, I guess, the... homosexual persuasion, so it's a lot of good-looking guys and stuff, and they have it so Scott was, I believe, in a spa sitting there, and it faces the entrance of the gym, so you get to watch all the people march in and out. And he said, Bob Mould, not so nice legs. And I said, Scott, I love you, but I really, it's the last thing I'd care about when it comes to Bob Mould. It's all about his fantastic music, people. His new album's great, so check it out, BobMould.com. And you were speaking of, you said Dart Park, right?
I accidentally said Dart Park.
And yeah. You're thinking of Dirt Park.
I was thinking of Dirt Land, yeah.
Well, that's funny because I was thinking of Dark Park. And you ever heard of Dark Sky Parks? Dark Sky, the whole idea of Dark Sky? You really can't appreciate in our Philadelphia area, where in many metro areas, when you look up to the sky, you can't appreciate due to the pollution. Like video. I mean, what is it? Like the I can't think of the word. Light pollution.
So there's dark sky parks are places that you can go and see the stars very clearly.
Yeah, they're supposed to be amazing. And I think like in central PA, there's a whole dark sky park area and movement. And it's something I want to do definitely in the nice weather hits. You know, you go to these certain parts of PA that are like optimal. There's no cell towers. There's no anything that would cause any, you know, giant rays of light to kind of. That sounds pretty cool, huh? Because you, like they say, when you look up in the sky in certain areas, you know, when you're away from all the nonsense of busy life, you can see some pretty amazing things.
All right, then.
What do you think you could say?
That sounds like the worst trip
right.
somebody could ever go. I mean, to me, I mean, it's not appealing.
I don't know why that made me think of it. While we were in Disney, we were swimming in there in the pool, and I haven't been in a pool in a very long time. And I love the feeling of like closing your eyes, holding your breath, and just pushing yourself to the bottom of the pool, right?
Right.
That complete. And I was saying to my wife, like, I would love to try one of those sensory deprivation tanks sometime. And she thinks that sounds like death. Like, why in the world would you want to do that? But you know what they are, right? It's like this. It's like a casket kind of thing you get in. It's filled with water. It goes up over your ears.
Yep.
You can't see anything, smell anything, hear anything, like complete sensory deprivation. You just stay in there.
And you just masturbate nonstop. It's fantastic.
I think that is what you do.
Probably. You know who's a big proponent of that? Comedian Joe Rogan. He talks about that all the time.
Does he?
He's really into experimental drugs. He loves, like, pot and loves, like, just totally altering your mind and seeing where it's going.
Right.
And he's a really, really bright guy. But he's also really into that, like, you know, you don't live unless you do that and do this and do that. And he's really into that whole thing. So
that's perfectly natural. So it's not like you're doing anything wrong to yourself. I just think it would be really interesting to see.
Guys, did I ever tell you I won a trip?
Not see.
I won a trip to Disney World.
Yeah, how'd it go?
Well, in 1993, I hit a half-court basketball shot at a Sixers game, and I won a complete trip to Disney World.
Really? What hotel?
It was like some crappy, it was a kid's hotel, it was one of those family friendly ones where it was like, you know, the Marriott Kid Fest, you know.
A family friendly hotel in Disney World?
Well, the thing was, I just started dating my now wife, Kelly. You know, one of our first dates, we go to this basketball game. I got tickets from a guy at work and I hit a half court shot. Pretty impressive. She was impressed. Then not only that, then I take her on vacation, all paid for Disney World. So it was pretty cool. But
and did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was great. It was really fun.
That's what I mean.
You know,
so,
it's just kind of that, you know.
What was your favorite ride or attraction?
The new Everest ride is great, man.
What park is that in?
It's in Animal Kingdom, and it's excellent. The thing is, there's actually like a plot to it, and the first time you ride it, you really don't know what's going to happen. And like, I could see going on it multiple times, but it's never going to be as exciting as that first time. And if anybody goes there and doesn't know the ride, don't try to find out what it does beforehand, because just going in blind and experiencing it is killer.
Really?
A really great roller coaster.
There's like a surprise ending to the ride?
I would actually say that there is,
Let's see, boys. We haven't been around together to talk about things in a long time. So I was thinking maybe we could just talk about, you know, stuff we're really into. Like, they're making a movie about the Smurfs. Did you know that?
Oh, wow.
Live action.
Is it live action?
No.
That would be awesome.
It's
starring Brendan Fraser.
No, it's like...
Sean Connery would be Papa Smurf.
It's like a CG, whatever you call the animated. You know? The guy who did E.T., Toy Story 2, and the Hulk, Colin Brady, directed, is doing it. Yeah, and it's supposedly... it's like all the buzz and all the film sites go to comingsoon.net and they have some photos and stuff of that. And you know what else they're doing is, and I saw this kind of weird thing, Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see
I saw a movie poster for that, yeah.
And there's supposedly video out there, they're not sure if it's real or not, of one of the characters interacting with a real human. It's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. That's Shel Silverstone?
Shel Silverstone.
No, it's not. Maurice Sendak.
Is the guy.
Sorry, Todd.
Are we
cool?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Todd, relax, all right?
There's plenty of water under the bridge, Russell. I forgive you for that.
Shel Silverstein, Giving Tree, right, I believe?
Yeah, and Where the Sidewalk Ends. And
Purple Crayon?
A Light in the Attic. The Missing Piece.
Falling Upwards. The Smurfs. Who is that directed towards? Because if it's a cartoon or CGI animation, like the adults who watched it in the first place aren't interested. And then, you know, kids, they don't want to see...
The only thing
they did go for it. Plus, you know, the Smurfs have also been around since like the 40s or 50s.
Yeah.
We got them here in the 80s, but they were...
Oh, is that right?
They were created in France, I believe.
Oh, I thought it was more like a Dutch thing.
Was it Dutch? I don't know. It was somewhere in Europe. And, so they had been around for decades before we got them here, too.
And they were...
You remember the bad guy's name?
Garmel.
And his cat?
Asriel.
Nice.
And the, Yeah, and the, let me see, I think the Smurfs, you know, with the little Wikipedia.
You know, when did the Smurfs jump the shark?
When they had the second little girl.
The two little kids with the red.
And one was a girl, yeah.
They had red.
The rape
red
scene?
They had, yeah, no. They had like salmon-colored pants, and she had like
something
orange
like
hair,
yeah. Yeah. And I didn't watch it then, but I remember seeing that.
Yeah, like a second girl?
Who is that?
Belgian! They were created by the Belgian cartoonist Peyo, P-E-Y-O. He introduced the Smurfs to the world in a series of comic strips.
In the year? What year?
1958, guys. That's when the Smurfs... The greatest thing I know about the Smurfs is probably the best game ever for ColecoVision was Smurfs.
You thought so? It was kind of like a precursor to the Mario Brothers
kind
of game.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Where you had like a side-scrolling action adventure.
Yes.
It wasn't very good. Have you played it recently?
No,
it doesn't
Russ,
hold up.
Yeah, wow, it doesn't hold up. Thanks, Russ. Oh, I'm so dejected.
It was a little confusing even at the time.
I like how they would use just adjectives that had the word Smurf in, like things were Smurfy and Smurftastic, and so, you know, like by that rationale, we should call things like that's humanish, you know, or humany.
You can start that, Todd. We'll see if it catches on. Yeah, my two favorite games were Ladybug and the Smurfs. That wow. Couldn't have got gayer playing video games back in the day. Everybody,
did you have a bike with a banana seat?
Yeah, sure. Why
the
not?
Best ColecoVision game was Mousetrap. They had a really good version of Mousetrap.
How about Pepper 2?
I don't.
You ever play Pepper? Pepper 2?
No, I do not remember that.
Their Donkey Kong Jr. was like an arcade perfect.
Their Donkey Kong was also pretty good.
Mr. Do.
Hey, have either of you guys
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, completely go off on your tangent. It's fascinating.
Nobody wants to hear about ColecoVision.
No, they really don't. No, they do, but have you either of you
equal
seen
equal to or less than the amount we've already given it.
That's right. The King of Kong, the documentary about it's supposedly great.
Yeah.
It's in my Netflix, and I keep meaning to move it up.
It's at the top of my queue. I'm so going to watch it before you.
Oh, friggin' Diddy. You signed up that you can see what I watch, right?
Yeah.
That's weird. I didn't know you could do that. Todd knows what I rent.
Yeah, he knows what I rent, too.
And I know how much you like it, too.
Netflix too, Jeff.
What's that?
I know how much you like it as well because then you give it a star.
Oh yeah, right? Yeah.
Do you really keep track of what other people are doing? Are you looking at what he does?
It's his
latest spreadsheet. Please check last broadcast.
Consider it a backup to yours, just in case yours goes down or you lose it.
Todd, don't you wish there's hyperlinks in podcasts where when I say the word spreadsheets, you could just link that word and would go back to the last.
See
podcast.
Episode 43.
No, that looks really good because there's like the one Donkey Kong Masters is really arrogant, like, you know, I'm the best, and the other guy's just kind of normal guy, and they battle to be who's the greatest Donkey Kong player.
Yeah, and they said that it's very similar to like Rocky or Karate Kid in that you have the one top cheese and the other guy who's like trying to come up the ranks.
Rise on land with the bonfire.
was Wolfkin with The Great Divide from Denmark.
Wolfkin sounds like from the creators of the Smurfs. Come the Wolfkins.
It does. It sounds like a Fraggle.
Like a lovable plush toy.
Right. Well, I came across these guys because my wife and I are planning a big Scandinavian trip this summer. So I found, for tonight's podcast, two bands from Denmark. One is actually from Copenhagen. So one is Wolfkin, and the other I'll be playing shortly.
Now, Russ, why Scandinavia?
Well, Scandinavia, I've always been fascinated with that part of the world. Like, we're going to go see the fjords and all that kind of stuff. And
what goes on over in Scandinavia at that time of the year?
We'll find out.
How come you've always been interested in Scandinavia? Because, I mean, that put you in the minority. Like, some people always think,
I've always wanted to.
Well, yeah, because most people always dream about going to Paris or Italy or...
That's exactly the reason why, right? But I mean, it's the same reason that most people think that, like, a trip to the Bahamas is, like, the best getaway you can have. Like, to me, you know, you've seen one island in the Bahamas, you've kind of seen them all. Like, I'm interested in places that are really far out of the way, places that have really interesting culture as a result of it. Like, I'm fascinated by Iceland, Greenland.
Yeah.
You know, places like North.
So, like, does Thailand or India, does that appeal to you as well for the same reasons?
They do, but for different reasons, I would say.
Do you know that this place is very expensive?
What is? Scandinavia.
Like, Scandinavia. Like, Iceland, my buddies went.
Yeah.
They said it was just insane.
Yeah, and right. I mean, we're going to take a pounding if the economy doesn't turn around because the dollar's so weak. But, it is what it is.
Where are you flying into? Like, where do you go?
We're flying into Copenhagen, and then we go to, from Denmark, we go Sweden, Norway, Finland, Estonia, and then Russia.
It's like, if that was a vacation package on one of the Showcase Showdowns on The Price is Right,
that person
would pass.
Oh,
I'm just saying. I think it's going to be great.
Lifetime,
but I'm just saying, like, to the general population, like, this is not a
copy. So that's, exactly. You think that's the first Showcase offered?
Yeah.
Right, right. And then you're waiting for the car.
Yeah, and like, I don't have a jet ski.
And I'm
so.
Very proud of it, right?
Yeah.
What else is the general public doing?
Absolutely. Oh, right.
General public?
For Bush. They're watching American Idol.
Oh, I thought you meant the band General Public. They haven't really done much for us in a while. Ranking Roger, I believe, is working in nightclubs. And the other member of General Public is? No one knows?
No.
Blonde-haired guy? No? Jeez. Show is now at a grinding halt.
Is General Public a band?
Yeah, General Public. You don't remember?
Whenever I'm kind of going against the undertow of the General Public, I feel like I'm doing something right.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's not the direction I want to swim.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Right.
Where did you just get back from, Russ? Disney World. Hey, everybody. There you go, Maverick.
I told you I only went there.
Yeah. What kind of business did you have there in Disney World anyway?
None of your business.
Oh, hey. Salt.
Speaking of beards, Todd, we're going to get back to your beard.
Thank God.
And many other facial hair discussions. But right now, we are going to play the most popular indie band in the history of February of this year.
It's true. These guys are, they've had a lot of buzz surrounding them and critical acclaim. But, you know, the album came out, I think, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, and it's pretty deserving. This is Vampire Weekend.
Oh, and Todd, this is our Day Trotter song of the podcast.
This is Day Trotter debut.
Day Trotter, yeah. The good guys at Day Trotter gave us carte blanche to use their music. We can talk when we come back about what daytrotter.com is. So this is not the Vampire Weekend that you might know and love from their self-titled debut, Vampire Weekend. This is Oxford Comma, but the Day Trotter session version.
I've seen those English dramas too. Ooh, they're cool. So if there's any other way to spell the words fine with me, with me, why would you speak to me that way? Especially when I always said that I haven't got the words for you. All your diction dripping with disdain. Take just my type, nor your boyfriend, unlike other guys. Why would you lie about how much coal you had? Why would you lie about something dumb like that? Why would you lie about anything at all? First the window, then it's to the wall.
Vampire Weekend, coming to us from Daytrotter.com, the good people at Daytrotter. I struck up a e-conversation with them, and they are proud to be featured on Newswigs Radio. It's basically a great website. We've talked about it maybe a year ago.
We certainly did, Todd.
It was a shout-out, previous shout-out. And Daytrotter, they have a refurbished, reconditioned recording studio, I believe in Illinois, and when alternative and independent acts, as they're crisscrossing the country on a tour, they stop in and they pop in and they record four songs on old analog equipment. And it's a very pure sound, very and it's not like heavily mastered, it's not overproduced. And they do maybe a couple songs from some of their albums, maybe a song or two that they're working on. And then Daytrotter puts it right out for free. You download it for free. It comes complete with album artwork. And it's a great place to go two or three times a week because they do update two or three times a week with four free tracks from the coolest bands.
That is just internet-based benevolence. Like, there's not many sites that give and give like they do.
It's great, yeah. And you know, all they do is they flash an ad or two in front of you. They say, maybe you want to buy this T-shirt. Perhaps you might like this album also. But no, fine, just take our free stuff.
But of course, Todd's like, yes, four T-shirts later.
Depends on how much I've had to drink.
That's true.
And the reason I chose that one, of course, Vampire Weekend is a really pretty cool band, and the album is strong. Oxford comma. I thought this would give Jeff the perfect opportunity to explain to us what an Oxford comma is.
Oh, wow. You know, you kind of caught me.
Do you not know?
Yeah, I do actually know what it is. Okay. Yeah, it's, well, people, let's just talk about, I guess, commas and the problems with the overuse or underuse of commas in grammar today. Many people like to throw them out willy-nilly, and I believe the Oxford comma is if I gave you in a sentence three things. If I said, I like cake, pie, and porn, normally you would say, I like cake, comma, pie, and porn. The Oxford comma, I believe, would be, I like cake, comma, pie, comma, and porn.
That's my preference.
You know do that?
Yes.
A lot of people do it, and you know what? There's so many different style guides
out
there.
That seems redundant, though, right?
Well, that is going, you know, by the book of, I believe, in the city, the Oxford comma, they're speaking of a style guide based in Britain. Maybe the Oxford English Dictionary says it's, you know, the right word, the right way to do it. But there's so many style guides out there.
Do you put a comma?
No, I don't.
By the end?
I am.
Don't look at me like I'm a...
You think you know somebody.
Yeah. This is so boring.
But they call elevators lifts.
They certainly do.
There's so many differences.
So Todd, you actually brought up a comma in our just, we were going along at a good clip where things were just jiving and it was perfect.
But don't you think some people tune in because of our punctuation talk?
I actually
have heard some.
I get some feedback
on
Yeah, we get positive feedback. Yeah.
I get some feedback, and people are like, listen, I don't tune into you to learn, you idiots. Shut up and talk about Todd's.
Well, I think if you listen to the lyrics of the song, is he's saying, I don't care about the Oxford comma, I don't care about, you know, so he's saying he's not interested, or the,
well,
the, I,
it's a very
lyricist
stance.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Correct
That's
me if,
crazy.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the Vampire Weekend boys are a bunch of Columbia University grads. They're from New York, and I believe it's either Columbia or Cornell.
I think it's Cornell.
Cornell? Whatever, they're a bunch of smarties.
Step. Anarchy in the UK, I don't believe in the Oxford. it's the logical progression.
Guys, what were we just talking about? The Vampire Week? I love the name. I love vampires. You know that. I'm really into vampires.
So hey, oh, you know what I was going to say before when you were talking about how busted Sylvester Stallone looks now?
Yeah. I still do them. Don't get me wrong.
Of course. Right. We were watching TV the other night, and there was a 2007 interview with John Cleese.
Yep. Still hot?
He looks like he's 1,000 years old. I mean, I couldn't believe what he looked like. I mean, I've seen some fairly recently.
But he's an old guy, so better to embrace his oldness than to look all synthetic.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that he... You know what it is? I just don't picture him that way.
Like, way to attack a septuagenarian, Russ. Real cool.
I think he is right around 70 now. Yeah. But I mean, I haven't seen him in so long, and I think when he was in the Harry Potter movies, you know, he was a ghost, so they did him up and stuff. And I haven't seen him in anything else recently. And he looks still fairly young in those Harry Potter movies because of the way they do his makeup. But he's in real life, like liver spots, like almost no hair. Like, I couldn't believe.
But good for him, though. I applaud that. Embrace it. You know what I mean? Better than a Joan Rivers 70.
Yeah,
which is alarming. She looks like the Madam Puppet.
Yeah, she's really old. I mean, she's been around.
Madam Puppet, what was that?
From the Hollywood Squares.
Wayland Flowered and Madam.
Yeah, she does look like that.
Yeah. But also like all shiny.
Also kind of like Lamb Chop, the sock puppet.
Right. Who did Lamb Chop?
Sherry
Lewis.
Lewis.
Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop.
Jinx.
This is the only podcast talking about the Oxford comma.
How many more puppets can we name? Lester.
Lester End.
And the puppeteer? I don't remember his name.
It was Charlie something, wasn't it? Charles?
Didn't they wear matching hats always? And
I'll give you $20 if you get this new one.
Charlie MacArthur.
Yeah, okay. Come on, bring
Yanni
it up.
Yanni and Pedro.
Yanni and Pedro.
Sarai.
Who was that?
Oh, sir, Senor Hand.
No.
Senior Wences?
Senior Wences. It was neither of you guys could.
Is that the same guy who did Topo Gigio? Topo Gigio, the little mouse, right? I think
no,
it was. But they were both on the Ed Sullivan show, right?
Yeah. I don't think that it was. I'm pretty, like, Senior Wences is the main thing.
It's all right.
Today's puppet comedian is,
Yeah, I know.
What is that hat?
Jeff Durham.
Ugh.
He's like number one. If you ever go to Comedy Central and you vote for your favorite comedian,
oh my goodness,
he is number one with a resounding, like, he just dusts everybody.
It's the opposite of funny.
I got a thing, like Mike Birbiglia, our friend, who always gives us a nice shout out on his secret public journal. You know, he had a thing, you know, hey, vote for me at Comedy Central. I don't care if you do, but, you know. So, you know, I had a little thing on Newswigs, vote for Mike. And, you know, he went up pretty quick, not because of us, but just because he sent that out. And then I'm looking, and like no one could touch this hack puppet guy. It's amazing. It's like
that guy is terrible.
Oh, he's horrible.
Have you ever seen that guy? The guy with like he's got like a purple gorilla, and he's got like an old man with crossed arms, and
yeah, he's horrible. Jeff Dunham. Jeff Dunham. His name is. Oh, speaking of the latest Mike Birbiglia special. What I should have said is nothing. Beyond his.
Yeah, I watched it that night. You recommended
it.
It
was
very
just.
Good.
Killer.
Have you guys, speaking of good comedians, have you listened to that latest Patton Oswalt CD?
Yeah, it's great.
It's very wrong and very funny.
It's Werewolves and... I don't know. The name
it
of
is
it.
Something
I have it. I downloaded the whole thing. It's great. He's another guy, man. Just really fantastic. He keeps getting better and better at his live stuff. So, you know what? Let's play another song.
Werewolves and Lollipops.
Werewolves and Lollipops. Patton. We had a Usewigs interview with Patton a couple of years ago. Our boy Zank interviewed Patton. You can check that out on newswigs.com. But let's play a song right now, people. And this one is by a band we featured on not only newswigs.com, but Newswigs Radio, one of our first podcasts. We played Say Hi to Your Mom. Todd, you played them back in the day. And Say Hi, as they're now known, has a new album out, and it's pretty darn good. I think the name of the album is The Wishes and the Glitch. And this is a new song called Northwestern Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Western girls with their fresh faces. Don't mess it up this time, 'cause they seem so nice. It must be in the air.
Do you like it better as Say Hi or Say Hi to Your Mom? I like Say Hi to Your Mom a lot
better.
Why'd they change it? I don't know. That's a good question.
It was like too lewd, perhaps? I mean, because obviously it's like a mom, your mom joke, right?
Oh, it is? It's like a snap?
Don't you think? It's like a Say Hi to Your Mom. You're insinuating that you have a relationship with that person,
that's
with
not,
a listener's mother.
Well, that's
an intimate relationship.
Well, maybe you and the crew you roll with, that's the way you guys talk to each other. But if someone said Say Hi to Your Mom, I'd be like, thanks, Say Hi to Your Mom. That's how I was raised, Todd. Wasn't raised.
That's sweet, yeah.
Wasn't raised doing mom jokes, okay? Jesus. Speaking of their new album, The Wishes and the Glitch, I think you can go to therebelgroup.com. Check them out there. I think that's the label. Find out a bunch of good stuff about them. The new album's very good. Were you guys asking who was Employee of the Summer at the Burger King in Belmar and 10th Avenue in 1985?
Was that you?
That was me. Do you know why I was
employee of the summer?
Of the friggin' summer. You know why?
Why?
I was the only one who didn't quit. They opened up. The worst mistake Burger King ever made was opening up a Burger King in this pavilion on the boardwalk in 10th Avenue in Belmar, because they couldn't get anyone to work there. So I was a sophomore in high school, and we all just went and got a job there. So we're working. Any day there were waves, any day there was anything fun going on, everyone called in sick. And I actually needed money. You know, like a lot of people I work with were just like, let's just work. And I like to buy things. You know, I had drums to buy. I had records to buy. You know what I mean? So I like just like, you can't call in sick.
So because of your spotless like attendance record?
Yeah, I was insane. One of my crowning achievements was Craig, the manager, would every now and then call in an order. And unbeknownst to us, he would then rate the sandwich he made. He said, I made the most perfect Whopper he's ever seen. And he was in the biz, the Burger King biz, for good 10 years. Wow. This guy, no, yeah, yeah. Like, man, the pickles, he's
you
like, Jeff.
You should make us Whopper someday.
He said, you had to know I was testing you because the pickles are where they're supposed to be, the cheese, the right amount of lettuce.
Where they're supposed to be.
You're supposed to put the four pickles in each corner on sure. top of each other because you don't want it, you know, you don't want it to Absolutely. Be uneven. You want it to be.
Duh, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
I was so
o'clock.
Anal about, like, just, you know, making food correctly back then.
Uh-huh. And I was well, people are paying top dollar.
They were paying.
They deserve a great product. I have a friend, and I certainly won't say his name, but I think he'll enjoy the fact that I'm sharing the story. Is when he was a slightly younger man, probably much younger man, he got a job at McDonald's only because he compulsively participated and adored the Monopoly game that shows up every now and again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so he got the job at McDonald's, and then soon thereafter, made off with a box of the tickets so that he could, like, in the comfort of his own home, tear through and try to fill up Monopoly board.
What
know?
A prick!
And
did he?
And it began to dawn on him, I suppose, that the majority of the game pieces are all of a certain type. And then the chase pieces are the ones that you know, just
of
having
course,
a huge,
of
having
course.
A huge amount of them does not a Monopoly board fill, you know, because they're still just the ones that are way short packed.
Yeah.
So, and then feeling terrible about that decision, you know, after he got through like 10% of the box opening and trying to fill it in, just felt terrible about it. And then drove up when it was closed and like put the box on the doorstep back, you know, and
what?
Hoping to make amends.
Doesn't fix it.
It fixes 90% of it though.
No, it doesn't. Not if somebody else comes and takes that box.
True.
Which is probably going to happen.
Yeah, so anyway, there are people out there that love the Monopoly game, though.
Yes.
And while it might be a small setback for that individual McDonald's, a giant score for the McDonald's conglomerate that says, yeah, this is something that people are into.
You know, one of the worst debacles in McDonald's history, which is a great one.
The firing of Mayor McCheese?
No, no. And then the...
he was voted out, I think.
No, it was actually a coup. Grimace had this very bloody army of grimaces.
Who was the fish guy? The filet fish guy?
He was a pirate.
Yeah, but did he have a name?
I think his name was Scrotty. Scrotty the fish guy, made of pure scrot, 50% imitation scrot.
It's Scrotty.
Oh, guys, look who's coming down the street. It's Scrotty. He's nobody's favorite. One of the biggest debacles was back when the Russians opted out of the Olympics. McDonald's already had this big win certain type of food when the Americans win a gold medal. So when the Russian Summer Olympics, when they opted not to participate, the Americans won everything. They won every gold. And I remember I was a young kid and we just had this McDonald's open up on the boardwalk. So you would get these little scratch and win things. Or like if they win a gold in, you know, high jump, you get a free whatever.
So it almost like broke the bank.
It was, and it was a big story. It was just, you would just go in there and we ate for like free all summer.
Wow.
It was great. It was.
Thank you, American athletes.
Yeah, it was
for making
like,
the rest of us a little bit fatter that summer.
That's right. And then what's that? We got some news?
Yes, Captain Crook was the name.
Wow.
And I guess because he stole the sandwiches, as many, I guess like product characters do, is they attempt to steal.
He was probably in cahoots with the Hamburglar.
Yeah.
Jeez.
They went back to the hideout and split up the loot. He's like, all the fish filet sandwiches for me, and you can have all the cheeseburgers.
My, one of Uswig's listeners, Mikey P in Brooklyn, who loves our show, and he was very excited. He said, after 42 podcasts, you finally mentioned me in a story. So I'm going to mention him again to make him feel even better.
Wow.
Mikey P sent me an email, and it was just about someone in his office was eating a filet of fish, and he found it very funny because we just had some odd story about that back in the day. But it's tough. Like, you know who it was, a Catholic. There, it's
on a Friday,
right?
Wow.
You know, it's just like that's
why
a Friday.
It was invented.
Right. That's the only way people eat that. You know what I mean?
That's the fattiest sandwich on the menu.
Yeah, it's just because of the tartar sauce, and you know, it's a horrible piece of food. But these inveterate fast food eaters are like, well, I have to go there and eat. It's Friday. I have to do this crazy, you know. That is just the silliest. I mean, you know,
Pack your bags.
I'm not knocking the Catholics.
Music
I know
time,
a few.
Jeffy.
It's music time.
Another song from Denmark.
It is, Russ, and this is.
The band is Snake and Jet's Amazing Bullet Band, and the song is 10 Cities Beyond. 10 Cities Beyond.
Nice.
Love those guys. Maybe I will catch them live in Denmark.
Wow. Oh, goodness Lord.
Hey, we talked a little bit about my beard. Let's
not, not enough, obviously.
Let's not change let's change our focus to Russell Sideburns, because we talked a little. I noticed something was...
Right, let me just run down. Todd has a new beard, and there's something new about Russ.
Yeah.
But that's a band name, Something New
something
About
new
Russ.
Something New About Russ. But we both noticed it. We said we couldn't put our finger on it, Jeff and I. We said, Russ, you look different. Did you do something with your hair? And as I was gazing into his head, he said...
Different in a good way.
See, I was lost in his eyes. You were able to see beyond that.
He's got like the Luke Perry...
I'm glad that you guys didn't let me escape a little, but little time under the magnifying glass.
You know, you actually, the interesting thing about them is you went from no sideburns.
I know, right?
To pretty significant sideburns.
They look pretty sweet, right?
Because before you used to like
well,
just
go... Well, you went from no beard to looking like freaking Pepe Marcello.
That's true.
Yeah, Pepe
yeah,
Marcello.
But I like sideburns. I say keep them. Maybe we will post a photograph of the new Russ and the new Todd. And the same Jeff.
Same.
But Jeff looks great for his age, though. The fact that he doesn't change is what's great about Jeff.
He's 56. Kind of the sweet spot. He's just going to ride that out.
I did. When I stopped at 34 years old 20 years ago, I'm like, this is the age I'm going to keep. Mm-hmm. And that's where I've been at now.
Game's locked.
I locked in at 34. I think that's important. Guys, let's do a couple of our segments. First of all, guys, I don't like you, and I don't need to give you a reason why. Cat power.
No.
Interesting.
With the mole and everything?
With the mole?
She's enchanting. Yeah, she's a great little mole above her lip.
Horrible music. Wow, you redid a bunch of songs. Oh, you did a Bob Dylan song. No one's done that 1,000 times in the past 2 years.
She is easy on the eye and the ear.
If you're easy on the eye, then go friggin' be in Maxim magazine. Don't make a crappy record.
She has stage
horrible live show.
By the way, yeah. She has...
Right.
Crippling stage fright.
Right. And she's a drunkard on stage, too. That's the only way she gets
over. Well, that's the only way she can do it.
You know what? She's not very talented. Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, I didn't need to give a reason why, and I did. Damn it! Todd, you baited me.
You built quite a case.
So let's get to a little something we like to call shout-outs. Todd, do you have anything to shout out besides your beard and your love of Russ's sideburns?
Yeah, I have something good. It's a great book that I picked up, and by the way, it currently, and probably will still be when you're listening to this, on sale, half price, I think, at UrbanOutfitters.com.
Wow.
One of the cool books that they choose and stack up in the little islands in the midst of their store. So I guess they bought too many, and now they're trying to get rid of them. Street Sketchbook, compiled by Tristan Manco. And, it's a beautiful book. It's really thick, and it's a look inside the sketchbooks of fairly prominent street artists. In most cases, they're graffiti artists. But in the sketchbook, it's where they work through a lot of their ideas and develop their characters.
Oh, I've seen Beach Street, the movie. I know what you're talking about.
But it's not just tagging. As a matter of fact, there's not much tagging at all. It's mostly like characters that they create for the wheat pasting, sticker art, and graffiti art. And it's a great read. And it's a great look. You can flip through it. You can sink your teeth into it and read kind of the backstory of the characters that they're developing. And super super cool book. And you can get it for, I believe, $12.50-ish. At UrbanOutfitters.com, Street Sketchbook.
Russ, do you have anything you would like to shout out?
Two? One's tiny.
Tiny
Have you guys heard of that movie, Paris Je T'aime? Have you heard of that?
I co-produced that, Russ.
Did you, Jeff?
I certainly did. Tell everybody about it.
It is mostly in French. It's basically, it's about 12 little short movies that are all shot in Paris by all different producers or directors, right?
Right.
And so you've got people like Wes Craven, the Coen brothers, and you know, Wes Craven, you know, doesn't do a horror segment. I mean, it is excellent. So it's all these little movies, all done in a different director's style, woven together lightly, really only one connecting piece at the end. But they all have something to do with some form of love, and they're all shot in a different section of Paris. Fantastic movie.
That reminds me of like Coffee and Cigarettes.
It's like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely a worth viewing.
Yeah, say it again, though.
It's I don't know how you say it, but Paris Je T'aime. It's on my Netflix side, so just go in there.
Everybody go to Russ's Netflix and check out whatever.
That was given to me by drummer extraordinaire Russell Gellman. And then...
Whose taste doesn't always jive with yours.
With either of ours.
Yeah.
Right?
Russell Gelman likes John Mayer.
He does. He went on the John Mayer cruise.
I know. And John Mayer streaked on the cruise.
That Todd
I love Russell. I don't love John Mayer.
I do too.
Isn't it weird? You can love one guy and not love another.
We make fun of him mercilessly by singing John Mayer songs in like a Fat Albert voice. Because you know how he always sounds like out of breath and all like,
yeah. I want to run. you know what rubs me the wrong way about John Mayer? His charmed life where he's like, I'm a tall, good-looking guy, I play music, but I can do other things. I'm a comedian now, so he does stand-up comedy.
Oh, God. And stand-up?
Yes. And he Yes. Why would I make that up?
Is that on YouTube?
He cut his teeth on the cruises, maybe.
Yeah, so he tries really hard to let everybody know that, you know, he's a real funny guy.
Wow, what could a John Mayer cruise include?
He streaked
3 o'clock on deck B. Hey, John Mayer ping pong tournament.
Do you think, can we have Russell as a guest on our show to talk about the John Mayer cruise?
I'm sure he would love it.
That'd be great. Let's book that. Right, Todd, we'll book that. All right, let's book that.
We'll just drill him on the John Mayer cruise.
Yes. Yeah, so let's beat up one of our buddies.
Okay. And then the other thing, real quick shout out is, this isn't like real artsy, but I don't know if you guys had ever tried to do, what was it, Quick In or any of those programs where you could kind of like manage your money.
No,
you
I've
ever
never
tried any of that stuff.
No.
I mean, it's absolutely daunting.
Yeah,
but there's a new company. It's online only, and it's Mint.com, and they basically it's this online money management thing where it hooks up to all of your bank accounts and everything, and shows you at a glance like where you've been spending money, all this kind of stuff. It's a really fantastic interface. It makes all this stuff real easy. And I bring this up because, you know, we joke around about the spreadsheets and everything. So if there's anybody anal like me, for the spreadsheet set, this thing is really a fantastic way to kind of manage your money.
For all you Facebook groups known as spreadsheets.
Yeah, it's something that I kind of just looked at.
Do you pay?
No, it's free. So I looked at it out of the corner of my eye, and it is really a great tool. And if anybody's ever asked you, I mean, if you ever, you know, I'm sure you guys have been asked in your life, you know, so where does your money go every month? And I never freaking know.
I know.
Well, okay, but I don't know.
No, sure. I mean, I know where your money goes. I have no idea where my money goes.
But this is a great way to track all that kind of stuff. It's, it's really a great tool.
So. Question though, Russ.
Yes.
I'm all about, very, concerned about security with giving out any of my info, my bank accounts. With this Mint.com, do you have to give like your bank account info to them so they can actually?
You must.
They actually have. There's a whole page that explains how it works.
I don't know about that.
They don't keep any of it on their site. It's like this page.
I'm
not going to tell you how it works. Go to Mint.com. There's a page that explains how they use it all. They don't save any of the information. It's a free service.
So aren't you suspicious that they might somehow have, like, all at once they get, like, 400,000
Russ, do not be surprised if a month from now all the money is out of all your bank accounts. And
thanks to YouTube, jackasses, for stepping on my shout-out. Jeff, what would you like to shout?
Nothing, no. I'm kidding.
I'm not playing anymore.
No, Russ, you know what? I'm going to go to Mint.com. Thing is, I have no money to manage. Where do you get this money you speak of? All right, well, I have one shout, and I just did it yesterday. So I'll give you guys a little quiz. I don't know if you got the Usewigs update, but who invented the album cover?
I saw this thing you sent out, but I forget what his name is.
I thought this was really fascinating, and it's something you never really thought of, but you probably did. It was before 1938, all records were just put in plain brown sleeves, and they let the opening where it said, you know, the artist and the... That was the
There's like a circular
info.
Hole.
Right, that was the info there. But this guy, Alex Steinwise, not only did he construct the actual physical cardboard folding of album covers and patent it for, I believe they worked at Columbia Records, he was also a killer artist. I mean, if you go to Alex Steinwise, and that's A-L-E-X Stein, STEINWEISS.com, Alex Steinwise, and check out the art that, I don't know if you're on the right one. That might be it, Todd. Yeah. And just go to covers and just look at, and when you look at his style, that playful yet sophisticated style, and he does.
It's really, very indicative of the time.
Of
though.
The time, yeah. Right. But you know what? It's indicative of the time,
very
and
cool.
He might have been the one who pretty much was at the forefront of that design. I haven't done a lot of research, but there's other artists of that era. But he pretty much created this, you know, marketing niche of putting the album, the artwork, everything on the cover of the album to help, you know, sell it. And, wow, that was a good show, guys. You know, The show was great, but we have to get back to our pajama jammy jam, and we get the popcorn going, and we're going to pop in Grease 2, maybe that first season of Grey's Anatomy. Oh, and I have 4 episodes of The View we really had to catch up on. It's going to be great. All right, but when we watch The View, guys, you ready? No masturbating, okay? You promise? All right, that was podcast 44.
Ugly. That might be the third time tonight that you mentioned
masturbating?
Autoeroticism.
I didn't mention autoerotic asphyxiation. I didn't say we're getting ropes and hanging chairs while watching The View.
Let's put overhead.
Let's cap it at 3.